If you'd open your Bibles with me to the book of 2 Samuel in chapter 12. We'll read 2 Samuel chapter 12. We'll begin reading in verse 14 and read through verse 25, but we'll be looking particularly at verses 24 and 25 this evening. So now we'll begin reading in 2 Samuel chapter 12. Verse 14, hear the word of God. However, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also who is born to you shall surely die. Then Nathan departed to his house. And the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and it became ill. David therefore pleaded with God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. So the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the ground. But he would not, nor did he eat food with them. Then on the seventh day it came to pass that the child died. And the servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, "Indeed, while the child was alive, we spoke to him, and he would not heed our voice. How can we tell him that the child is dead? He may do some harm." When David saw that his servants were whispering, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said to his servants, "Is the child dead?" And they said, "He is dead." So David arose from the ground, washed and anointed himself, and changed his clothes. And he went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he went to his own house, and when he requested, they set food before him, and he ate. Then his servants said to him, "What is this that you have done? You fasted and wept while he was alive, but when the child died, you arose and ate food." And he said, "While the child was alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, 'Who can tell whether the Lord will be gracious to me, that the child may live?' But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." Then David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went in to her and lay with her. So she bore a son, and he called his name Solomon. Now the Lord loved him, and he sent word by the hand of Nathan the prophet. So he called his name Jedidiah, because of the Lord. Thus far the reading of God's word. Let us pray. Our God, bless this word to us this night. Instruct us by it that we may know more of who you are, that we may know the comfort that comes from you, even and in spite of our sin. And we ask that you would do this for the name and sake of Jesus Christ. Amen. As we come to 2 Samuel, chapter 12, verses 24 and 25, we come to really the final act in this big drama. This drama began back in 2 Samuel, chapter 11, and verse 1. There, David committed sin. He lusted after another man's wife. He brought her to himself. He slept with her while this man, Uriah, was out of town. And he ended up getting her pregnant. And David attempted to cover this all up. He tried to do so by encouraging Uriah to go and come back and to spend time with his wife. When that didn't work, David eventually resorted to murder. But David could not hide his sin from God. He could not hide his sin from God. And therefore we read in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 27, after Bathsheba comes to David and he marries her, that this thing that David had done displeased the Lord. He could not hide it from God. And so God sent Nathan in the early parts of 2 Samuel 12 to confront David. And he does so. And David, because he is a man after God's own heart, because the Spirit of God was working in him, David, unlike Saul, confesses his sin. Against The Lord, I have done this thing, he says. And we saw that in Psalm 51. David really fleshes out his repentance in that psalm. But although he confessed and was told that his sin was put away, that he would not die, he faced the earthly consequences. That son that was born to him dies on the seventh day. And so we've come full circle in this drama. See, remember in the beginning, David lay with Uriah's wife. Verse 4 of chapter 11. He got her pregnant. Verse 5 of chapter 11. And the child died. Now here, in verse 24, we see David doing the same thing. He went into her and lay with her. And once again, she is pregnant. Now here's the question. What is the Lord going to do? Is this son going to die? It's interesting because Nathan came to David in chapter 12 early on with a message from God. And Nathan comes again here with a message from God. What is Nathan going to say? Well, we find that Nathan brings a very different message. His message is not, the child who is born to you shall surely die. But his message is, call him Jedidiah, beloved of the Lord. Beloved of the Lord. He comes with a message not only of earthly comfort, but also eternal comfort, as we'll see. And this is a great and glorious truth for all of us, because David had sinned greatly. And yet, even though he faced consequences on this earth for his sin, God still drew near to him. God showed him mercy. God comforted him. And he was able then to comfort his wife, Bathsheba. And perhaps you have, in your past, sinned greatly. And you think, how is it that I will ever be able to live this sin down? Maybe you think, well, God has forgiven me, but I can't forgive myself. I can't let it go. I can't forget about it. It's going to haunt me until the day I die. Well, if that's the case, this is really good news for you. Because here's what we have. We have here God, although he doesn't promise to take away the earthly consequences, he does promise to use those earthly consequences for your good and his glory. And in doing so, to bring comfort. And that is something that we all need. We all need this comfort, because guess what? We've all sinned and fallen short of his glory. But God promises to give it to us. And he does so by even using our sins to bring our comfort. It's amazing how God turns the tables. So that's what I want you to see as we look at these two verses, verses 24 and 25, that God uses even the consequences of sin to bring comfort to sinners. God uses even the consequences of sin to bring comfort to sinners, to bring both earthly comfort and eternal comfort. Now, how did God use these consequences of sin to bring earthly comfort here to David and to Bathsheba? Well, God comforted David. We see that first. David is able to go in verse 24 and comfort Bathsheba because he was already comforted. That's why we read that passage, Psalm 32, earlier. There, David brings out the comfort that he had received. Blessed is the man whose sins have been forgiven, whose iniquity is not imputed to him, who is surrounded by God's mercy. You know, David prayed for this in Psalm 51 and verse 12. Remember in Psalm 51 and verse 12, as he prayed after Nathan had gone to him, he prayed this, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Bring restoration, God. I have been separated from you because of my sin. Now bring restoration. And God answers that, and we see here a visible demonstration of that. David goes in, comforts Bathsheba, and she bore a son, and he called his name Solomon. Solomon, a familiar name, the son of David. But the name Solomon comes from the Hebrew root that means peace, shalom. And so we might look at this name as meaning the Lord's restoration or peace. Even in the name here, David understands that the joy of his salvation is restored. And the fact that he's named here, which probably would have happened on the day that he was circumcised, show that this child has already lived longer than the child who had no name, who died on the seventh day. And David acknowledges this great mercy that he has received, again, in Psalm 32, just a few verses from that psalm. God has answered that prayer from Psalm 51, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." And David then acknowledges that that joy has been restored. He says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit." Speaking of that joy, he says in verse 11, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart." Rejoice and shout for joy. See, David had had that joy restored to him, and he acknowledges that. And now David, as the one who has been comforted by God, goes in to comfort his wife. David is comforted as his relationship with God is restored, and David is comforted as his relationship with Bathsheba is redeemed. Now this is interesting. Look at this. We're told in verse 24 that David comforted who? The wife of Uriah? No. Did David comfort the woman? No. Now in the past, we've seen her referenced as the wife of Uriah or the woman. But here, David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and he went into her. Now, this is important to understand. There's a restoration here. She is Bathsheba, his wife, not the woman, not the wife of Uriah. God is bringing redemption even to this relationship. Now, this is an interesting point here. David's adultery and marriage to Bathsheba displeased the Lord. We were told that. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 27. What David did displeased the Lord, but the Lord does not say, "David, divorce her." He doesn't say, "David, you sinned, and now you need to remedy that sin by sinning again." His divorce would be a sin. No. He doesn't tell her to do that. You see, the reality here is if two people are married, even if they were married as unbelievers, or married for the wrong reasons, or in sin, or whatever else, they're married. They're married. God has brought them together. And so here, she is called Bathsheba, his wife. And David is able to comfort her because he has received comfort. You look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. One of the reasons that God comforts us is so we can comfort others. 2 Corinthians in chapter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." The word comfort just jumps out at us from these two verses. He is the God of all comfort. He is the one who comforts us, not in some, but in all of our tribulations. Why? So that we can go and comfort others. Now, many of you have been comforted in the past. Who is it now that needs your comfort? Who is it that God is calling you now to use your past and the comfort you've received from God to bring comfort to them? Even in our present circumstances, you've had a family member who's undergone great trials physically. And God has comforted you. Now, be a comfort to others. That's what you're called to do. Now, David understands that, and he goes in, and he is enabled by God to comfort Bathsheba. We're told in verse 24, "Then David comforted Bathsheba, his wife." And how did he do that? He went into her, and he lay with her. Now, think of the contrast here. In 2 Samuel 11:4, David had no intention of comforting Bathsheba. He saw her from the roof, and he lusted after her. He was after his own comfort. And so he went into her, and he lay with her, and it displeased the Lord. He lay with Uriah's wife in selfish lust. But here we see a different David. Here we see a David going in as a husband, laying with his wife in tender intimacy. A whole different situation here. He went in and he lay with her, and they were both comforted. Why? Because she bore a son, not a son that was destined to die at day seven, but a son who was destined to live. And this is God's MO, modus operandi. This is how God works. Think about it. Genesis chapter 4, verse 25. Cain has killed Abel, and God provides Seth. Job loses his children. And at the end of Job, in Job 42, verse 13, and again in verse 16, we see that Job received back children from the Lord. Jacob, who lost Joseph for a time, when he comes to Joseph, not only does he get Joseph, but he gets Ephraim and Manasseh. God is restoring these things that he had taken away because of David's sin. That's who God is. God is a God who restores things, even things that he has a right to take away from us. He restores them. Even things that we in no way deserve, because who can claim anything from the Lord? You see that in Joel chapter 2. I would encourage you this evening or this week to read through Joel chapter 2. But Joel chapter 2 and verse 25. Says, so I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust. I will restore to you these things. But notice at the end of that verse, God says, my great army which I sent among you because of your sin. But I will restore those things. And here we see God restoring these things to David. That's the earthly comfort that God brings by using the consequences of sin. Certainly, Solomon would not have been born had David not sinned in this way. But God not only uses the consequences of sin to bring earthly comforts, but most importantly, he uses the consequences of sin to bring eternal comfort. And that's also what we see here. We see that God communicates this eternal comfort to David and to us all by naming David's son. Now, it's interesting, isn't it? The son that died never received a name. But this son receives two. Solomon by David. But then we're told at the end of verse 24, now the Lord loved him. And once again, God sends Nathan the prophet. Now, the last time Nathan came, it was not good for David. The last time Nathan came, he came as one who was bringing the judgment of God. Your sin will be forgiven, but the child born to you will die. And yet this time, Nathan brings a different message, doesn't he? He brings this message in the form of a name. He sent word by the hand of Nathan the prophet. So he called his name Jedidiah, which means beloved of the Lord. Beloved of the Lord. In other words, this baby will not die. This baby will live. And look at this contrast again between the first and second son. As I said, the first son didn't even make it to the eighth day in which he would be circumcised and probably be named. He had no name, and yet this son, two names. The first son was judged by God. The child also who is born to you shall surely die, in verse 14. This child is beloved by God. The first child was given at a time when the Lord was displeased with him and taken away in wrath. This child was given at a time where God was reconciled with David, and he's upheld by love. But all of this was for a purpose beyond comforting David and Bathsheba, beyond showing God's love. Yes, all that is true, but the Lord then confirms this eternal comfort, not only by naming David's son, but by sending his own son. And so if Solomon was not born here, there's someone else crucially important to redemption who would not be born. Look at Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 6, this genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read these words in verse 6. And Jesse begot David the king. David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. And on and on and on. Until we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so do you see here how the birth of Solomon, even though it came through all of these wicked acts, ensured, God used it to ensure that the Lord Jesus Christ would come. And the second thing is that even the name of Solomon points us to the Lord Jesus Christ and the name of Jedidiah. In fact, we may say Solomon Jedidiah if we think of Solomon as the Lord's peace restored. And Jedidiah, beloved of the Lord, we see Jesus Christ who is, as Isaiah 9 verse 6 tells us, the Prince of Peace. And who God in Matthew 3:17 at his baptism said, "This is my beloved Son." So all of this here, as we look at these names, Solomon and Jedidiah, bring to mind and point forward to the one who would come from Solomon, the Lord Jesus Christ. And even the manner of Solomon's birth and everything that led up to us point us to the Lord Jesus Christ and show us how God uses the sin of men to bring about the salvation of men. A lot of sin happened here. Nathan had to come and tell David of this sin because he was hiding it. David sinned. Bathsheba sinned. Joab was involved in that sin. All of this happened. And yet out of it, the birth of Solomon came. You see how God turned the tables? Using all of that sin for his own purposes. It's the same thing with the Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. This is Peter's sermon, looking at verse 22. Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. Peter says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by them." And then look also at verse 36. Summarizes it here. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, certainly we see there the sin of man being used for the salvation of man. Much in the same way the sin of David and Bathsheba was used by God to bring about the birth of Solomon, which then ensured the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what an end to this drama. As I was thinking about this, I thought the greatest writer on the earth could not wrap up a story like this. Look at how God wraps this one up. What began as a story of lust, sexual sin, lying, murder, apathy toward that sin, David sat on that sin for some 9 months, has been turned on its head by God. What was this story of lust and sin has been turned from a story of lust to love, a story of sexual sin to tender comfort, from apathy about sin to repentance and confession of sin. And yes, although we know, as we looked at this passage last week, that the earthly consequences were not removed. David lost that first son. David's house, his four sons, would rise up. Three more sons would rise up against him. He would have turmoil in his own house. The sword would never leave it. The earthly consequences remained for David, but guess what? He could face them with a confidence because he had been restored to God and the joy of his salvation. David knew the forgiveness and the comfort that God gives. And although his first son died, here we have the son whom God himself named Jedidiah, beloved of the Lord. Beloved of the Lord. He will not die. And not only will he live, but through him, because Jesus Christ will come through him, so many will live. And do you see how God takes sin? As wicked as it is, we're not condoning sin here. We're not saying go sin so that God can use it. Certainly Paul argues against it. Shall we sin so that grace may abound? No. But just because you sin and just because you face the earthly consequences of sin does not mean that God is not busy working it out for your good and his glory. It's exactly what he does for David here. God uses the consequences of sin to bring comfort to sinners. And here's what I want to leave you with. If God used, and he did, use the wicked sins of David and Bathsheba to bring about not only their earthly comfort, but also the eternal comfort through the birth of Solomon and ultimately the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, if God can and does use the acts of wicked men as he did, using those men who crucified the Lord Jesus Christ to bring about through the greatest sin, the greatest salvation, how can he not use your sins to your ultimate good? So I don't know what you have in the past. I don't know what is hounding you, but I know this, that God works, we're told in Romans 8:28, all things to good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And in those all things, that includes all things, sin is not accepted. God is a God who is in the business of restoring, as Joel 2:25 said, those years that have been eaten away. Now that brings a great hope, doesn't it? Not only are you forgiven of your sins in the Lord Jesus Christ, but God is going to use them in some form and fashion to accomplish his purposes, as he did here with David and Bathsheba, through Solomon, as he did through the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we all be comforted, even as we understand that we have sinned, to know that God is always in control and working all things out for good. Amen. Let us pray. Our God, we need your comfort, for we are sinners. We confess that we have sinned, and we have done things that have left a path of destruction in their wake. And yet, God, we are comforted to know that although we face consequences on this earth, you have forgiven us. We will not face eternal condemnation, for there is no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. And even more, that you are using even our sins to accomplish your purposes. Now we ask and pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.